This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah, there it is. How about we run one more back? Oh, yeah. Love that sound because it means it's Friday at 5 o'clock. The 5 o'clock pop brought to you by Farmers Brewing Company. Whatever time it is, wherever you are, join us as we get ready for the weekend, the final one of the NBA regular season. We'll be sipping on their hazy IPA called Garage Dweller. It's got sweet, tropical, and citrus aromas. Delicious! Go grab a six-pack from Farmers Brewing at your nearest grocery store and enjoy the game with us and the beer here on 95.7 The Game. You getting ready, Larry?
I already shotgunned mine at the commercial break.
Yeah, you did.
So I'm already digesting, and it was really, really good.
Yeah, set your clock for thirsty. Larry Krueger, throw it down, big man.
There you go.
Well, as I get into my
first... There's only one way to do it.
Yeah, and I'm going to get into my first Farmer's Brew of the weekend. And in the meantime, we're going to Cade in San Francisco. Cade, welcome to the show. Fill some time while I start drinking.
He's going to beer bong. He's going to go beer bong.
My funnel, Larry. Cade, what's going on, buddy?
How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Doing good.
All right. I actually have a comment. I think our run this season is going to depend on Clay, Pods, Wiggs, mainly these three guys. If these three guys play well, we're going to go very far into the season. That's what I think. I think these three guys are going to be key.
I think that's a good call, especially Wiggs, I think, because... he's the guy that can absolutely drift and do nothing, and you're sitting there going, what is he getting accomplished out there? And then when he shows up, it's like the Warriors have a chance to get to that next level. And we saw it the other night against the Lakers. He showed up, he had an incredible night, and everybody else was doing their thing. And the Warriors played one, maybe the best game of the year. So I definitely like those three, but I would say heavy emphasis on Wiggins.
It's always Wiggins for me. And, you know, when Wiggins plays the way he did in the NBA Finals a couple of years ago, there's a reason why you won all those games. And he was an all-star, I know, but there was a K-pop star who basically elevated him through the fan voting into the all-star game. Not that he wasn't somewhat worthy, but it's the way he played down the stretch in that year that was so impactful. And I did a little case study a couple of weeks ago with Andrew Wiggins, and I was looking at the games where Andrew Wiggins is a plus in the plus minus and what that does for the team. And this year there have been 30 games where Andrew has been a plus in plus minus. They're 22-8. And I went back to the championship year and did that same thing.
Right.
And I think that year they were like 37-3. And I know it's a little bit of chicken or the egg, because if he's in the positive, that means the team is in the positive, right? Because he plays a lot of minutes. But it feels to me like when Andrew Wiggins is impactful and he plays well and the minutes that he plays are winning minutes, the team is more likely to win basketball games.
Well, first of all, he's 6'8", super long, super willowy, good defender.
Willowy, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, he can get to the front of the rim anytime he wants. If I was running Golden State, I'd absolutely get somebody in their locker room to just punch him in the chest at the beginning of the game.
Oh, they have a guy who could do that.
Yeah, maybe Draymond, punch him in the chest and just say, attack the rim and try to jam everything. And if he just attacks the rim with ferocity, he's gonna play D. And the rebounding, if you could get him into that rebounding mode that he was in a couple years ago against the Celtics when they won the finals, to me, if he rebounds the ball and just attacks the rim with aggression and plays with, like, he just doesn't play, and I don't know. I'm reading nonverbal here, Dibs, so maybe I'm wrong. But it appears at times like he doesn't play with this tremendous fire. And he doesn't play, he seems like a real nice guy who's kind of takes it as it goes. I mean, I don't know if it's the $200 million that he's got in the bank from playing all these years. But if he just put it on the deck and just said, I am attacking the rim and I'm going to try to jam everything, I think the Warriors would be a better team for it. I really do. They don't have enough guys who are going to the rim off the dribble, and he would give them that. And then there's guys open on the perimeter. I would love to see that. To me, I think if he can get in that mode, they are going to be a really, really tough team to beat.
It just feels to me like he's one of those guys who maybe doesn't love ball as much as other people. And, you know, you look at Draymond Green, and he probably loves it too much. And he has a hard time containing his emotions because he wants it so badly. He wants to win. He grinds so hard that sometimes it gets the better of him. Klay does it in his own way. Klay's very competitive. He's maybe not outwardly as emotive as Draymond, but you know he wants to win. And Steph Curry, he plays with such joy and such passion, he's never called into question. But you get to Wiggins, and sometimes it feels like he's just out there because it's his job. You know, it's like,
and some guys are like that. Hey, I'm not super passionate. I'm just good at this. You know, I mean, I'm not a super passionate baseball player, football player. I'm just good at it, and I'm out here. But if he really has that ferocity and attacks the rim, I think Golden State is so much of a better team.
No doubt.
At that point, because they don't really have – Kuminga can be that player, but Wiggins has more control over the basketball on his attacks of the rim, and I just think he can maintain that dribble. He's 6'8".
Yeah.
He's got long arms. He can get to the front of the rim, and if you just said, hey, I'll give you $1,000 every time you jam it on somebody and just see what it looked like, I really think they'd be tough to beat in that scenario, because they got perimeter shooting and they got other guys that can play off of that. And I think that's part of Wiggins' key to success also, is that he's not a ball hog kind of guy, so he does fit in well.
Yeah.
He fits in well on this team where there's so many other offensive options. But, man, in certain scenarios, I would just love to see him attack a little bit more.
But because he's not a ball hog, and you're right about that, he does tend to blend into the woodwork. And, you know, when Kuminga's in there, Kuminga's much more assertive about getting his shots and being aggressive and making an imprint on the game. And you know Klay's going to get his. Steph and Draymond are very forceful when they're on the floor. And so sometimes when Andrew's out there, he blends into the woodwork. He's started the last 15 games after a brief stint on the bench, and that was after his 4-game absence. In those 15 games, he's averaging 15 a night, and he's shooting at 40% from three.
What's he rebounding?
45% from the floor, and he's getting 6 rebounds a night.
Okay.
And that's, you'll take
that.
What
did he get in the championship year, though? He was getting like 8.
He had double digits in a few of those games, and his teammates couldn't believe that he was, you know, making that much of an impact. What are you feeling tonight going into the game? 888-957-9570. I'm nervous. Larry's excited. Larry's eager to get this thing started. Let's go to the phones. Dre and Lemoore is on with Willard and Dibs. Larry,
the
is
home
in
of
for Mark, the home of the great Low Neal. What's
Low
going
Neal,
on, Dre?
Same church, same pew.
And you're sitting on my lap. What's up, Dre?
What's going on?
Hey, Gary. I heard you guys asking earlier, who would you rather play? Who do you want to play?
Yeah.
And, Gary, you said the right answer. It's the Kings right now. They're wounded, and they are to be got. And I have one special reason for playing them. Last year when we played against them, I said, it looked to me like HB had fire in his eyes, like he was still butthurt about getting cut or having to leave. But I'm still mad about him not being able to hit the side of a barn that whole series. I mean, all he had to do was score a few points, and that series is won. He's a nice guy, and I can't stand HB. He's kind of like Roger Craig. Ever since he fumbled on the three-peat,
wow,
I want nothing to do with him.
You sound like a disgruntled Kings fan. Are you a Kings fan?
Oh, not at all.
Oh, okay.
I'm HB. I'm talking about when he was a Warrior and we were leading Cleveland 3-1.
Right, the NBA Finals. Forget about Draymond getting suspended. You're going to blame HB for not being able to hit the three ball.
I'm blaming the Black Falcon for not scoring just his usual amount. He couldn't hit a shot. They should have put in Barbosa way earlier. HB blew that series.
I like to call him the Senator, personally.
Yeah, thank you, Dre.
I like the Jim Barnett nickname of Harrison Barnes. There might not be a better dude, actually, that I've met than Harrison Barnes.
Is he in your phone?
He follows me on Twitter.
That's okay.
But I like HB. He was in studio with his little sister when he first came to the Warriors, and I think we all went to a Giants game and all sat together. He's just a class act, man. He's just a solid dude.
Yeah.
I mean, now he was totally invisible in the series before he left the Warriors, which is what part of the reason I think most people were content with him leaving the Warriors. And then he had the moment. It was that Sunday game against the Warriors. He had an open look at a three. He could have put the dagger in Golden State, and he rimmed out. So, great guy. I don't know if he's the best guy under pressure, but he's a hell of a guy.
Yeah, and Sacramento is a team that is clearly wounded right now, and they're a team that you definitely would want to play, and we talked about it before as far as how you would want this to go. Ideally, you get to the 8, and then you let Sacramento play L.A. in the 9-10, and you take your chances against Phoenix or New Orleans, depending on how that shakes out. And as I mentioned last hour, Phoenix holds the tiebreaker over New Orleans. So if things go tonight according to plan, Phoenix being favored over Sacramento and the Warriors being favored over New Orleans, Warriors beat the Pels, and Phoenix beats the Kings. Well, Phoenix jumps up to the 6. The Warriors would jump temporarily. They would still actually would be the 9, if I'm not mistaken. No, they would jump ahead of Sacramento. I apologize. They'd be the 8.
Right.
And so it would set up a rematch, New Orleans and Golden State, if form held, and that would be next Tuesday. So you could end up having Pelicans-Warriors twice over the span of just 5 days.
And that second game's probably going to include Ingram, right?
You know, and it would be in New Orleans.
Right. Well, and that's.
But at least you'd have the cushion as the 8 seed of, you know, right, if you go to New Orleans and lose in the 7-8 game, then you would play the winner of Sacramento-LA, and that'd be at Chase Center next Friday.
Yeah. And you got to feel good about that opportunity. The Sacramento right now feels like Golden State's little brother. You know, they don't feel like the kind of team. It was funny, Mark was doing all this, you know, they're adorable last year. Remember that?
Infuriating.
He just, you know, upsetting the people up there. But it does feel like Sacramento's got an inferiority complex against Golden State.
A little bit. And, you know, last year would have been the year for them to vanquish that as the 3 seed in the 3-6 matchup. But they're unable to get that done. 888-957-9570. It's your phone number. If you're heading to the game and you're listening, give us a call and let's talk about how excited you are to be going out there. Or if you're watching it from home, let us know how you're going to approach it.
Do you have superstitions? Have you seen that commercial where, are you the superstitious sports fan? I mean, the guy just knocks over the guy's popcorn and you didn't sit there last time. And, you know, I can't. Do you have any superstitions? Do you have any like Golden State garb that you wear? Like
no.
A Golden State hat?
I don't.
I can see you with like a Golden State scarf, possibly. No.
I've got some garb, but none of it feels to me like it's good luck. It's funny because
I'd like to know if maybe people want to dial in with their superstitions. Do you have a Warriors superstition that is undefeated that you could go to tonight?
Yeah. Would you use it tonight, though? Because this one is, I mean, it still is just a regular season game. It's not do or die. It's not a must win, but it is a big game.
Well, it's about setting yourself up for the right path. So I kind of think these are a little bit more important than we're making it sound.
Right.
Because it does, the path to the playoffs is absolutely huge. And if you can get the win tonight, that makes your path quite a bit easier, in my opinion. But I'd love to know if anybody's got a true Golden State, you know, superstition. And, you know, the players have them. I'll go up to some of the Niner players and be like, hey, do you have a pregame this or that? And they're like, yeah, man, I listen to the, you know, Colton McKivitz. I only eat a plate of buttered noodles and two steaks before every game. Some guys listen to the same song, you know, at their locker every game. So what is your Warriors gotta have it superstition if you have one?
888-957-9570 if you have a superstition. One of the jerseys I do have is the same jersey that you famously were photographed in. It's the Warrior sleeved jersey. I got the same jersey the same time you did. We were working for different stations. Well, I was working for this station. You were working for a different station.
And it was just the unbelievably tightest jersey of all time. And I looked over at Ratty, and he's like, put it on. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to for sure. I don't think I should have done that, Dibs.
That picture's still out there.
It's still out there. If I ever make any comment about anybody's conditioning, or if anybody's trying to ever get back at me and, you know, I'll stick it to Kruger, I'm going to stick it to him, I'll see that picture and I'm smiling and it's just as tight as heck. And, you know, it just, it looks good on, it looked good on Harrison Barnes.
Right.
Say that. It
right.
Didn't look good on me.
And, or me. I don't know if there's a picture of me in that jersey out there, but I have the same jersey as you. It's in my closet at home and, I haven't put it on. I could probably wear it now a little bit better, down 17 pounds.
Well, of course, because of your commercial spot there that you've lost huge amounts of weight.
It's a fact. AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com.
So you can wear the jersey. When I lifted it out of the bag, it was like big shoulders, but the body of it was
it looked svelte.
I mean, it was seriously really, really small. And I'm like, I got to put this on, man.
Yeah.
Probably a mistake in hindsight.
And it's a Raymond Ritter special where when the Warriors were not very good, they would come to the local radio stations and, you know, promote the product and come by and bring you gear and bring you all kinds of stuff. He's still very good.
Oh, he's the best.
And they're
Ray?
Still very helpful. And, you know, we're thankful for the relationship. But when they stunk, he would go even further to help you want to promote the team.
Yeah.
I have a signed Patrick O'Brien basketball at home somewhere because that was during the click and roll time where, hey, it's time to meet the rookies. And so he brought Patrick O'Brien by back when I was working at the station that you were working at when you were in Sacramento. And this is probably 2009.
I forget the point guard the Warriors had that just was the worst interview of all time. It was years ago, years and years ago.
Jacob Evans or?
No, it was before that, slight point guard. And he's Ray's like, yeah, he'll be great. He'll be great. And he was like cooking and talking to somebody. I think he put me on. He's like, hold on a second. I got somebody on the other line. He gave me the other line on live radio.
Wow. Yeah.
Speedy Claxton.
Oh, man, you're going way back.
Speedy Claxton, yeah.
Speedy Claxton.
It wasn't an epic interview. It wasn't as bad as my Patrick Marleau interview when he was a rookie and barely spoke any English. That was bad, too. But Speedy Claxton cooking and then telling me, hold on, I've got another call coming in on a live radio deal. That was not good.
Speedy Claxton. Whoa. You took me way back with that one.
I think it was like the Brian Cardinal, the custodian era.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm looking. Patrick O'Brien was 2006.
Patrick O'Brien.
The big 7-footer.
Yeah.
Who turned out to not be much. I'm looking for Speedy Claxton. I'm not seeing it here.
The Warriors one time drafted Todd Fuller over Kobe Bryant. That's really all you need to know.
Yeah, it was a bit
there
of
was
a...
Some, there were some lean days there. There were some, you know... Yeah. I can remember high-fiving a guy when the Warriors got Larry Hughes. Yes! Yes!
That was a trade, right?
We got Larry Hughes. You know, give me the high five. How times have changed.
Yeah, boy. Some lean years there. Anthony Randolph, and then 2009.
Randolph went for 44 in the Summer
League. Yeah, that
some
was after Marco Bellinelli went for 44 in the Summer League.
That's right. That told me right there, don't pay attention to the Summer League.
Pretty much. Richard Hendricks out of Alabama, which was the year of Anthony Randolph. And then 2009 with the 7th pick, Stephen Curry. What a difference one pick can make. Forget 2010 when they took Ekpe Udo with the number 6 overall pick.
Well, you know what, though? If you think about it, that was the Steph pick was the crossroads for the franchise. Steph and Dell said, don't pick me. I don't want to play there. I don't want to be there. Don't draft us. And Don Nelson said, you know what? Heck with them.
And Larry Riley, yeah.
Larry Riley. But I talked to Larry Riley several times. Whoop. He was taking his marching orders from Nelly. Nelly had watched all the film on the guy that went to Sacramento and all the different guards, Tyreke Evans and all the different guards that were in
Ricky
that draft.
Ricky Rubio went before.
Ricky Rubio, Johnny Flynn.
Yep, of course.
And Nelly looked at all those films, and Larry Riley told me that Nelly came to him and said, this is the guy. So, yes, Larry Riley deserves the credit. He was the reigning GM. But let's not pretend that Don Nelson didn't have a whole lot to do with that. Nelly, of course, drafted Mitch Richmond, Sprewell, right. Sidney Moncrief, Terry Cummings. He came away in the same offseason that they drafted Dirk Nowitzki with Steve Nash. How about that for a draft day? Steve Nash and Dirk Nowitzki?
Not bad.
Nelly knew talent.
Yeah. Without a doubt. And, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, it took him, a year or two to get him over from Germany, and the rest was history. Mark and I were talking last week about the idea of the big three, Steph, Clay, and Dre, all finishing as Warriors, and how incredibly rare that would be. And I was actually thinking about
that
in terms of, like, legendary players and how few of them are actually one-team wonders. And we went through the top 10 all time in NBA in scoring, and the only ones on the list who were one team only were Kobe Bryant and Dirk Nowitzki.
Right. I mean, go through the greatest Warriors of all time, then none of them went start to finish with the Warriors for the most part. Almost all of their best players wound up somewhere else, and that's just kind of the way it is. And that's the thing, and you guys made the point, it's going to be very interesting to see if the Warriors can go start to finish with all three guys because of the financial implications of the whole thing. And it just kind of almost forces you to part ways with one.
Yeah.
I don't know if we know anything really, but we suspect they're going start to finish with Steph. And I'd love to see him go start to finish with all three. I think there is a chance, but it's slim. It's a slim chance.
Yeah, and I wonder about this upcoming year, but we're trying to stay in the moment, and we're gearing up.
We're not talking off season.
We're not. We're talking about game 81 with New Orleans in town tonight, the Pelicans and the Warriors. Lucas with a health update here in 60 seconds, but just to close the loop on this conversation, I'm looking at Steph's draft class.
Right.
It turns out to be a very good draft class. Blake Griffin, number one.
Jumped to Kia.
Played for more than one team. James Harden went number 3.
Niner fan James Harden, by
played
the way.
For more than one team. Ricky Rubio went 5. And I'm looking at just the guys who played a long time in the draft class. DeMar DeRozan went 9 in that class. He's played for 3 teams. James Johnson went 16. He played 15 years. Drew Holiday went 17.
Signed for big money.
He's played for multiple teams, obviously. All the way down to Taj Gibson and even Danny Green, a second rounder, and Patty Mills. These guys all were in the same draft class, and none of them played for one team other than the Chef.
Who was, I heard you guys' discussion, but then I think I took a phone call. Who were the top 10 players of all time that did play for one team? Bird, right? Do you remember who it was?
Well, we did it based on scoring.
Yeah, the top 10 scores. Was Bird on your list?
The list is LeBron, obviously more than one team. Kareem played for 2. Karl Malone is 3rd. He played for the Lakers.
Right.
Kobe is 4th. He played for only one team. Then it's Michael, Dirk, one team only. Wilt, KD, Shaq, and Carmelo Anthony. That's your top 10 all-time
and
in points.
All those guys played for multiple teams.
Except for Dirk. Kobe.
Yeah.
And even if you go down, you have to get down to Hakeem Olajuwon at 13 to find the next guy who was, he wasn't one team only. I apologize.
Yeah, he played Orlando or
Toronto.
Toronto.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's
really, really, really rare.
Yeah.
It's very rare. That
I mean,
that even the greatest players in the history of the league.
Right. And that's I mean, these are the greatest scorers in the history of the league, and Elvin Hayes is 12, and he was multiple teams, and Moses Malone was multiple teams. Did Oscar Sidney, Robertson was multiple teams.
Sidney Moncrief play for just the Bucks, maybe?
I'd have to look, but he's way further down the list.
Yeah, he's a great player, but not an all-time.
And even Dominique, and you think, oh, yeah, Atlanta only. Clippers, Boston, Spurs, and Magic. He played for 5 teams.
Yeah, you think of Hawks only, but you're right.
Yeah, Tim Duncan would be the next one on the list. All-time points. He's 16th, and he played for just the one team. Anyway.
Very rare. Yep. Very, very, very rare.
Before we go to the phones, we go live to the other room. Lucas with an injury update.
Who's only played for one team in this market.
One radio station.
One radio station, Lucas, I believe.
Well, one professional radio station. The others are just minor league teams. Appreciate we don't need to talk about that.
Don't talk about that.
Please
don't talk about that.
Speaking, Steve Kerr just addressed the media before tonight's game. Two big pieces of news. Jonathan Kuminga and GP2 both out tonight. Kuminga banged his tailbone, as we mentioned earlier in the show last night. The quote from Steve Kerr is he's, quote, in a lot of pain. And GP2 has calf tightness. The Warriors are just being cautious there. So two big rotational pieces out tonight for
the
Warriors.
Okay. Thank you, Lucas. So no Kuminga tailbone, and you've got no GP2 with the calf tightness.
The Warriors are so deep at this point. Do you think that helps Golden State to have one or two guys out of their rotation? Obviously, it doesn't help if Steph's out. But it just seems like there's too many players, and this is the challenge for Kerr. You could make an argument that he would have a 10 or 11 man rotation. Nobody has a 10 or 11 man rotation.
Right.
When you have a couple guys out, it kind of fits more comfortably into a regular rotation.
It does. It gives him clarity. And so now he doesn't have to worry about, you know, the conversation with Moses about, yeah, hey, Moses, thanks for last night, but keep your sweats on. Don't think we'll be needing you. Now with Kuminga out, and GP2 out, Moses, you're back in the 9-man rotation. And I think Steve wants it to be a 9-man rotation, ideally. So now you've got Clay and Steph and Pods. You've got Wiggins, TJD, and Draymond. You've got CP3. And then you'll go to probably Kevon and Moses, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it gives them, like, it takes their kind of clumsy,
right,
10-man rotation and makes it a nice, comfortable 8-man rotation or whatever. You know, it just seems like they're I don't want to say they're too deep for their own good, because it's an eternity, right? The whole thing's a grind. You're playing for months on end. You want as much depth as possible. But Golden State's testing that. I mean, they really are. They have tremendous depth. I mean, if you say what do you feel best about Golden State, I feel so good about the bench that they can put out there on any given night, Dibs. I just feel like Kerr's got as talented and as useful a bench as almost any team in the league on any given night.
Depending on who's available and how he uses it, and that's where Steve's biggest challenge will be going into the playoffs, is knowing if you've got 11 or 12 healthy bodies who you'd like to play, how do you figure out who's going to fit best with this matchup and who's playing well at the same time?
Yeah, but I mean, it's a challenge, but I'm looking forward to, now Kuminga, it bothers me they're not going to have Kuminga, because Kuminga is playing, I think, really tremendous basketball, and I love the way he's creating for others, and he kind of gives you, both those guys, I mean, GP2 and Kuminga give you that impact defensive length, and they're pests, you know,
right.
They're not the kind of guy you want to, GP2, you could be dribbling it with your right hand, he could approach you on the left side, and he can reach across and pick you out of your right hand. I mean, there's only a handful of guys in the league that can do that.
6-1 without Kuminga this year, so all is not lost.
Okay, I didn't know that number, that's a good number.
Well, and a lot of those games were of late when they were really starting to roll, and they lost against Dallas the first time they lost without Kuminga. I'm not saying that they can be successful long-term without him, but they've been
pretty good
without him.
Yeah.
You know, and part of that was this win streak at Orlando, at Charlotte, at San Antonio, games where you can play without certain people and still get by with it. Let's go to Eric in San Mateo real quick, Larry. He wants to weigh in on our Warrior conversation about some of the greats of yesteryear. What's going on, Eric? Eric, you there?
Hi, man. Yeah, I'm right here.
Talk to me, Eric.
Yeah. Well, Kruger's on, and I appreciate both of you. I kind of switched over from the other channel years ago, so congratulations. So, Larry?
Thanks.
You're a very wise man. Continue on.
Vontigo Cummings.
Your thoughts?
Yes.
And
I see your Vontigo Cummings, and I raise you a Chris Porter. Thank you.
Alexander.
Big Vic. I love Big Vic. He was a very skilled, maybe a little heavy, but
I'll
very skilled.
I'll see your Big Vic and raise you an Ike Diagu.
I see your Ike Diagu, and I say Chris Gatling, who had a barbershop and may have lived in a home that he didn't own.
Yeah, but Ice Cube mentioned the Gatling. We're doing the Gatling.
Chris Gatling had a good back to the basket game.
So I've never called a radio show before, but I just wanted to call in because I wanted to know from Larry if he knows where Vontigo is. I have a memory. At his press conference when he got drafted, somebody asked him, "What does your name mean?" And he said, "It's my mom's favorite car."
A Vontigo.
No follow-up.
No follow-up necessary.
No follow-up, yeah. Where is Vontigo Cummings? Well, it wasn't my turn to watch him, but I will Wikipedia him and tell you that he had a successful career in Europe. He played in several countries. So,
can you name me what a Vontigo car is?
I'm not really a car guy, but dibs.
Vontigo.
Is it an American made?
No follow-up question. They just say just walked away. Anyway, that's the story I wanted to share, just a memory. And Kruger, when are we going to get your three stages of the draft?
Not before a vital Warrior game, but maybe soon.
All right, go Dubs.
There you go.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. Thank you for your contribution.
Your Vontigo Cummings.
Yes.
I found a Mercury Montego, not a Vontigo.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
And he last played in Puerto Rico.
And his middle name, it was Vontigo Marfik Cummings.
Yeah.
Marfik.
There you go. Family name, no doubt.
He was a talented guy. I will say that. He was a 6'3 point guard, really athletic, 26 pick by the Pacers in the 99 draft. And then came to the Warriors for Jeff Foster. Remember that? The infamous Cummings for Foster.
Yeah, it's a blockbuster, as I recall it. Come on. Just some of the trades with, you know, it seems like they've traded with the Pacers a lot.
That's right. Mully for Eric Dampier.
Also the Dunleavy, Steven Jackson trade.
For Al Harrington and
right,
Stack
all those
Jack.
Cats, yeah.
That was a great
Which,
trade.
You know, gave rise to the We Believe team.
I miss Stack Jack. He was really good. I mean, that was a phenomenal trade, by the way.
It was.
That really was. I mean, that trade kind of lit, that kind of created that team with Harrington
right.
and Stack Jack.
And I guess they didn't trade. No, they traded Monte to Milwaukee for Andrew Bogut, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. And it's funny how people kind of rewrite history on that. It's like, are we supposed to believe that Steph Curry wouldn't and Klay Thompson would not have emerged if Monte hadn't been dealt? You know, that's like one of those
right
kind of bogus storylines. It's like Steph Curry was going to be great, whether Monte
right.
Ellis was on the team or not. Yes, it created more minutes and this and that, but don't tell me that Steph never would have become Steph if they didn't trade Monte.
And I feel the same way about the Wiseman Halliburton discussion, because they could have drafted Tyrese Halliburton, but instead they took James Wiseman. And many people say, well, if they had Halliburton, he wouldn't have become Halliburton because he would have been playing behind Steph and Clay.
No.
It's like he would have found his way to Halliburton it up.
Right.
In the minutes he had, he would have Halliburtoned all over people, and you would have been like, man, how about this Halliburton? But
right.
instead they took Wiseman, and the rest is a two-timeline history.
Like, let's just give guys credit for being who they are. It's not like Dan Dibley wouldn't have been Dan Dibley unless he got paired with Mark Willard. Dan Dibley, damn it, was Dan Dibley.
Yeah, and I mean, it's easier to say, would Dan Dibley be Dan Dibley without Gary Radnich, which...
Well, in that case, you'd still be, you know, spinning records at the bone if, you know, come on.
We'd be doing traffic on the 8th right now, Larry. We got problems on the Nimitz South 880 and Hesperian.
There's something in the roadway on 580 South.
We got a three-car conundrum on 101.
Those are good days.
Yeah, those were great days.
You were a happy young man.
The greatest days, and we're going to go back to the phones momentarily, and we appreciate all you calling here. It's Larry in for Mark. It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. The best days were the days doing helicopter traffic for
in a real, in a real or fake helicopter?
Oh, yeah, no, real, dude. I was up in the sky.
Really?
Every morning. 6 a.m.
What was that like?
It was incredible.
Where did you take off from?
Took off from Hayward. So I was living in Oakland, and I would get to the airfield at 5:59.
And you're seriously binoculars up there in the...
You know, I had a camera, so I was doing TV traffic. So I'm doing the camera, and I also had an interior camera, so I would switch, and the anchor would say, I think it was...
What the hell did that cost?
It would cost a pretty penny.
A pretty penny,
man.
It was
back in 2000, and this was before I got latched onto that other station.
Somebody signing off on thousands of dollars of helicopter bills.
Yeah. Jet fuel's not cheap.
So you can say, yes, it's crowded on the freeway.
On the 880, yeah. We go live to Chopper Dan. What do you see? Oh, we got a backup here, southbound 880. I'm trying to remember. It was Mark Dannon and the anchor who's still there at Cron. I cannot remember her name in the morning.
Either.
Whatever. Chopper Dan. 1 year.
It wasn't my turn to watch Cron.
Of helicopter traffic. It was the good life.
I do watch Cron on New Year's Eve. There you go. I just got to see that, man. I got to see them toast the midnight toast.
And your guy Ratty's not doing it anymore.
No.
He's no longer doing the New Year.
No, he's moved on to a new couple doing the New Year.
But that's right.
It's still a hell of a show.
I bet.
It's a hell of a, and now let's see fireworks from Dusseldorf. You know?
If you are watching fireworks on TV on New Year's, seriously, you are officially old.
You're old.
Believe me, I watch it, and if I can stay up that late.
Especially if you're like toasting like apple cider, you know, if it's like Martinelli's apple cider because you don't want to drink too much, that's also a bad sign.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is your phone number. One more chance to get in here before we turn it over to Grandy. Speaking of drinking, he's live at Ballast Point down on 16th Street just outside of Chase Center.
Is he throwing them back? Is Grandy the kind of guy that would throw them back down there?
No. He would not throw one back during the time that he has to broadcast. Or even, he won't even have one during the game, I would bet, because he has to do post-game, and he's a pro. He's a pro's pro.
There you go.
So he's going to definitely
good to
toe
know.
The line.
Good to know.
Yeah, I don't know about his non-on-air tendencies or his predilections, so to speak, as it pertains to throwing one back.
We won't judge it one way or another. How about that?
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. He's new in the business, so you get to be a little bit more of a salty vet. You can kind of, you know, pick and choose your maneuvers accordingly. So if you just joined us, the news is out. There'll be no Jonathan Kuminga tonight, and no GP2 either. GP2 out with a calf issue, calf tightness, and Jonathan Kuminga with a bit of a tailbone issue. So neither one of them will be on the floor tonight as the Warriors have a big game against New Orleans.
And the concern I would have on that front is just that I think this is like the third time this year that GP2 has battled some serious calf issues. Didn't he pull up lame about a month ago and it looked like he was in a lot of pain?
Well, even before that, he was out. Remember, he came back and he got hurt almost immediately and he was out again.
Yeah, so that's a recurring kind of type thing, and hopefully they're just, you know, being extra careful. Because to me, you say GP2 and you think, well, role player, this and that. I think he is a vital, vital cog for them when we get to, you know, playoff time. So do whatever you got to do to make sure you protect him, because you don't want him missing. He's a defensive shutdown kind of player. He's one of the best on the ball defenders in the entire league.
No doubt, and certainly the best on ball defender for the Golden State Warriors. So they're going to need him when you get to the real high leverage games, which are not here yet. This is a big game tonight against New Orleans, but it's not make or break. If you lose, then you're still in the play-in. And if you happen to have a hiccup against Utah, you're still in the play-in. These are not must-win games just yet. So get Kuminga and GP2 right for when you do have those games that are true elimination games. One quick look at the scoreboard before we bounce for just a moment. It's Lakers 34, Memphis 26 at the end of one from Memphis. And remember, LA and Sacramento and Golden State are in a three-way tie right now for the eight seed. The Lakers hold no tiebreakers, so they need to win and get help if they're going to climb out of the 10. But just to keep an eye on the Lakers as they get things going, both Anthony Davis and LeBron James are in action tonight in Memphis.
Yeah, and the only downside there is that Memphis is not playing for a whole lot, right? I mean, they have no skin in the game, really.
No, and they have no strong players in the game either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're being led by Jordan Goodwin with 11 right now. G.G. Jackson, the bane of the Warriors' existence some time ago, he's got 5. Memphis down 8 after one quarter in a meaningless game for the woeful Grizzlies.
Okay. And then tonight, Sacramento, Phoenix, and what time? That's the
7:30.
7:30
tip. So Warriors, Pelicans at 7. And by the time that game gets underway, we should know about the Laker game. And it looks like the Lakers are comfortably in front in Memphis as expected, but all eyes on the Sacramento-Phoenix game, which tips off a half an hour later. We are sponsored by the Alameda County Probation Department. One more chance for you to get your voice in as we lead up to Pelicans and Warriors. How excited are you for tonight's game number 81 at Chase Center? 888-957-9570. Larry's in for Mark. It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we're back in it here, and the camera's back on me right where it belongs. It is Willard and Dibs, my good friend Larry Krueger, filling in here for Mark Willard. Final segment as we're getting everybody ready for the Warriors and the Pelicans coming up with Mark Grandy live from Ballast Point at the top of the hour with Warriors Live.
Should be a big night. Should be a big night. And, you know, it's an I love this time of the sports calendar. You got the NFL draft coming up.
Yep.
Baseball's underway. NBA's just getting juicy. NHL, if you're a hockey fan, getting juicy. Giants have scored one run tonight Tampa.
I'm pointing to the other TV. We don't talk about that. We're talking about, hello, friends.
The Masters.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Well, the Masters is awesome. I don't tape a lot of golf tournaments, but I, like, tape the first two rounds of the Masters.
Tape. That's so hilarious. You pop a tape in your VCR.
Well, not a tape, you know what I mean? I hit the button or whatever for Xfinity. Yeah. But I watch it because I love watching Augusta National.
Yeah. Have you been?
No, I've never been.
Oh, let me tell you, Larry. It's a lot hillier than you would think.
It looks amazingly lush and wonderful.
It is so amazingly lush and wonderful. And the things that you realize when you go there is the attention to detail makes Disneyland look like a sloppy arrangement. And Disneyland is phenomenal when it comes to attention to detail. They have crosswalks, right, for every golf course where the pedestrians can cross one fairway to get to another one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see it on TV because it... Hello, friends. The entire crosswalk is covered by small green pebbles. They paint the pebbles green so that it blends in perfectly with the fairway, so you can't tell as a viewer where the crosswalks are. Hello, friends.
Really?
We take you out to 13.
It just everything's Scotty so Scheffler lush and green. Birdie. Who do you have? You're wagering on this, right?
I'm wagering, Larry, in a number of different fashions.
Stop.
I'm in a fantasy golf pool. I've got Scotty Scheffler.
Fantasy golf is actually more fun than you would think.
It's actually a lot more fun than you think. Shout out Rob Scott and the great membership at Black Hawk Country Club, of which I'm not a member, but they treat me like one when I go out to Inner Danville.
There you go.
Hello, friends. My picks this week, Scottie Scheffler tied for the lead, and Rory McIlroy, who did to the course today what my daughter often does to the diaper around 11 o'clock in the morning.
I'm a Colin Morikawa fan. I'm rooting for the Cal Bear.
I'm in a couple of other pools in which I have such Europeans as Nikolai Højgaard and Lucas Oberg at the Masters. Hello,
who's your pick now?
My pick is Scottie Scheffler still. Scheffler tied with
Max Homa.
And you know, I hate to brag, but it's what we do here. I golfed with Max Homa.
Did you?
Yeah, it was Lowe and I and Max Homa. Back when Max was just a web.com, a nationwide minor league golfer, it's now the Korn Ferry. It used to be the web.com. They paired Lowe and I up with a golfer for the Pro-Am out at TPC Stonebray in Hayward.
I have played there.
I was playing with Max Homa.
And but obviously you didn't have good enough dialogue to get him in your phone.
I think I have Homa, and he follows me on Twitter, so we're more of a DM buddies.
Gotcha.
I might actually have him in my phone. He would be the most famous one.
I bet you Lowe is powerful off the tee.
Lowe is incredible. Not always accurate, but when he hits the golf ball, you hear a scream, and it's the golf ball.
It's the golf ball crying.
He crushes the ball.
Oh, I know.
I played with him one day at Presidio. It was Lowe and I and Kalena Azubuki.
Oh, nice.
And Kalena was learning the game. Kalena's a good golfer. Kalena's a great guy. And we're having fun, and Lowe gets up to the 18th hole at Presidio, par 5, slight dogleg right.
He's got a little underrated course. I definitely like playing Presidio.
Yeah, shout out Baltimore Joe, who's the starter there. But Lowe's got about 243. He pulls out a 5-wood and proceeds to hit this towering fade over 17 stands of trees to like 14 feet.
I don't even have a 5-wood in my
guy.
Do you even have a 5-wood in your bag?
Yeah. I got 2 3-woods and a 5-wood.
You hit a 5-wood?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a persimmon 5-wood.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. My game's a little unwieldy, but I can get it around. About a 14 right now.
I mean, do you play bingo after you use your 5-wood?
Totally. I go for a dinner.
B49. B19.
B is only 1 through 15, Larry.
Oh, sorry.
If you're going to do the bit, get it right.
G47.
That works.
Blackout.
Actually, 47 is a G. Look at you. Because the N's only go to 45.
So this is I can draw back in my days of working at the Heritage Home in the marina.
Before we get you ready for the game, it's time for the defensive play of the week. It's brought to you by the East Bay Law Practice. When you need the best defense, you call the Bay Area's top criminal defense attorney. Visit eastbaylawpractice.com today. Let's go back to Tuesday. Dubs in LA against the Lakers. You win and you keep hope for the 8 or 9 alive. You lose and you're likely locked into the 10 seed. Dubs are pulling away late, but the game wasn't 100% over just yet until GP2 denied Hachimura, leading to a Clay 3-pointer at the other end. Gucci!
Spencer Dinwiddie lengthens the court pass to LeBron, feeds a cut in to Hachimura, and blocked by Payne! Oh, man, he stares back at him. The fans want a foul. They don't get it. Rui gets denied. Step into the corner, Payne. Draymond to Clay, catch and shoot, left wing, 3! It's good! Timeout, Lakers! This one is very nearly over now. 127-110, the fans are booing, they're up in arms, but it doesn't matter!
Kevin Dana here on 95.7 The Game. It just doesn't matter, Larry, as the Warriors!
I like the matter!
Oh yeah, it's so many Dana calls. He gets his money's worth.
Very very juiced up there. Very excited.
Very passionate,
very
Kevin
passionate.
Dana.
Very
which
passionate.
Which is, it's always great to hear. And
Kevin Dana.
Totally.
Doesn't matter.
The defensive play of the week brought to you by East Bay Law Practice. East Bay Law Practice knows how to go the distance for you by providing the best defense you need to help reduce or eliminate your penalties. Visit eastbaylawpractice.com. Today,
I was watching the first round of the Masters, and Will Zalatoris, Said it?
Yeah.
Will Zalatoris. Using the belly putter. It's a bad look. It's a
agreed.
Weird, it's a weird
especially
looking.
For a younger man.
It's just, explain.
The broomstick. It takes a little bit of the yips out of it because your right hand holds the broomstick at the top and then your left hand does the moving. And so it allows you to anchor. You're not allowed to anchor it to your body anymore, but allows your right hand to be basically stationary and your left hand does the work.
Have you played golf with anybody who busted out the belly putter?
No.
I have not. I've never seen that either.
I would walk off. That would be unacceptable.
But, I mean, no, you could be out there. You could be you and a buddy. It could be, join another twosome. Nobody's ever that you play a lot of golf.
I don't think so. I don't play so much anymore.
Oh, okay.
I got a baby,
I thought you were
Larry.
Like Steiny. I thought you played all the time.
I've played 3 times this calendar year.
All right.
I mean.
I'm asking the wrong guy. I'll ask Steiny next time.
I change diapers.
How often?
And I pull a wagon. That's what I do.
How frequent would you see the belly putter? It's just a. I don't know. It's a bad look. It's a bad
agreed.
Look.
Agreed.
It's the elbows are out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just bad.
Larry, I could do this with you all day and all night, but unfortunately, we have other appointments.
Oh, that's true.
And it's coming up. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. It's Warriors Live with Mark Grandy ahead of Warriors and the Pelicans. Mark Grandy is live from Ballast Point on 16th Street. Just west of Chase Center. Larry, that was super fun, dude. It's good to see you.
Hey, and if you're out there on 16th Street and you see Grandy, give a honk. Give a honk, for 95.7 Grandy.
I love that. Well, Larry, thank you for coming
in. Yeah, good seeing you, man.
Always fun. For my partner, Mark Willard, travel safe. For Lucas, great job. Grandy, enjoy Warriors Live. Sterling, thank you for pinch hitting. I am Dan Dibley. It was my pleasure to be here with you, and we'll see you all on Monday, hopefully, celebrating the Warriors as an 8 seed. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.